Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Plants and Policies podcast. My name is Ina Tonchescu, and I'm joined by researcher and my friend, Maddie Youngman. Today, we're actually going to take a little bit of a step back, and this is going to be more of a chill podcast episode. We're going to be talking about events and reflecting on some of the events that we've been to that have given us a lot more insight into life overall and some into our advocacy really as well. And so we'll just hop right into it. And then I just want to say thank you. Actually, before we hop in, I want to say thank you to those who responded to our last episode that gave us feedback and also gave us information in terms of other ideas that we should be bringing and speaking about to the podcast. So you are heard, and I'm going to reply to all of you very soon. And thank you for participating. It's really big. And if you want to do the same thing with this podcast, of course you absolutely can, and keep bringing those ideas because you really never know. So let's hop into this episode. Maddie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. A little tired because of the aforementioned events that have been going on. Both you and I were very busy this weekend.
Yeah.
Doing various different things, but we're going to kind of come together in this podcast and talk about them and sort of reflect. And so, Ina, I guess we can start with your event that you visited and were sort of a big part of, leading a booth for Canadians for Responsible Food Policy at Planted Expo in Toronto.
Yes.
How'd it go? What was going on? I heard there was Jeopardy.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So we created this Jeopardy game. Okay. Well, first of all, before I even get to this Jeopardy game, because it was actually one of the most shocking events for me. And, but I'll tell you this. So Planted Expo goes on in Toronto, and there's also another event in Vancouver as well. This is just in Canada. There's also one in Seattle in America. But the ones, and we're hoping to get back into Vancouver as well, because we went last year, we had amazing experiences. I will tell you that every single time that I've been to a Planted Expo event, I have found many people who are absolutely kind, open-minded, and also just fall on many spectrums. So oftentimes you would expect people to eat a predominantly plant-based diet or be completely plant-based, let's say. But that's not the case. I met with people who were researchers and people who are professors of kinesiology. And I've met with people who are currently just eating an omnivorous diet and are just simply interested because they recently watched a film like They're Trying to Kill Us, for example, and that sort of sparked the interest. So there's a lot of interesting folks that you get to meet. I will tell you that every single person was open to the idea of Canadians for Responsible Food Policy, and every single person was positively reactive to the fact that we want Canadians to eat more in line with the Canadian Food Guide. We received over 200 petition signatures, and they're actually still coming in with messages saying we met at Planted Expo, and people who are very much in line, very much supportive of us eating in line with the Canadian Food Guide. So, and very much supportive of public education campaigns. I'll talk about the Jeopardy game for a second, because this is actually the most shocking thing for me. So in this Jeopardy game, and I should probably test your knowledge. I don't know if you want to be on the hot seat over here. Okay.
Sure. Hopefully I don't get anything wrong. No one roast me, please, if I get it wrong.
It's okay. We can cut the podcast. I'm joking. but we're trying not to do a lot of cuts, folks, by the way, because we really want to keep this as just really as like homey as possible. Like, this is a conversation. This is a community. We don't want things that are edited. We don't want filters on the work that we do. We really just want you to see us for what we really are. So this is really big for us. Okay. All right. So we had some of them. We had five different categories: climate change, resource management, scandalous outbreaks. We did scandals and outbreaks. Okay. And then we talked about food guide and then health matters. And so the health matters was a little bit more general, and everything else was very Canadian. So we were talking about, for example, how there was a scandal. And we wanted to know the name of it. So we said, this scandal just recently happened where Canadians were wondering why their butter was so hard. And it was because farmers were feeding palm oil to cows, which we know palm oil is very destructive and not sustainable at all. Though there's arguments that palm oil is more sustainable than other oils, there's been a huge fight to have palm oil done in a sustainable fashion. And so anyways, we wanted to know the scandal's name, and a lot of people didn't know. Do you know what it's called?
No.
Exactly. So this scandal was actually called Buttergate in the
oh my
news.
God.
I know, right? But then there was other simpler ones. Like, for example, Canada wanted to reach 40% reductions of emissions by 20 what? And what year, right? So people are like, 20.
Probably like 2030. Probably.
Right. So it was 2030, and there was an audit done. And what did the audit say?
So we're not doing that.
We're
not on track for that at all. We're actually increasing.
We are. Yeah. We're like, we're out of this world. So those are the kinds of things that we were asking. So the idea behind the Jeopardy game was, of course, people could actually win gift cards and everything that we hid throughout the game. It was just meant to get people engaged. But the idea that came to me for this Jeopardy game was actually to get the public educated. So it's one of the things that we're obviously talking about over and over again at CRFP about having public education campaigns. And then we're not I want to show people what that's actually going to look like. So let's talk about not the scandals, of course. That was just meant to bring people, you know, sort of have people more engaged. But let's have people talk about the emissions, the audit, and talking about the fact that we're not going to reach emissions. Let's talk about the fact that in dairy causes inflammation, for example. Let's talk about the fact that there was a swine flu outbreak in 2008, and it's now once again being like when they were swabbing for the other recent lockdown causing thing that we can't mention because our video will not be seen to show to everybody. So when they were swabbing for that in Manitoba, they actually found more cases of swine flu. So like, and Manitoba, of course, is swine country, swine production.
Yeah.
So what we say swine, you know, we mentioned pig in case nobody knows that that's what the agricultural term is for pig farming. And so, yeah, so like people didn't know about this stuff. People didn't know about listeria outbreaks at maple leaf plants and things like that. So those are the kinds of things that we had on the Jeopardy board. And I wanted it to be very Canadian specific because I know a lot of the information that we get online is very American fed, and that's great and all, but then we can't use those arguments when we talk about policy and when we're lobbying MPs. And I was quite shocked to see how many people were actually plant-based who still didn't know about the 2030, 40% reduction of emissions targets and the 2050 net zero targets. Like, people don't know this information. So I kind of almost took it as it's my job to put it out there as much as possible. So really great insights, because that kind of like, it kind of like reaffirmed, is that a word? Reaffirmed that I need to be, you know, more aggressive in our marketing side of things to run these public education campaigns. And I think it very much educated me on how, where I need to actually start in terms of public education campaigns. I think we actually need to go back down to, you know, sort of like crash course 101 on why we need to be doing this. So I'll leave it at that, but it was one of the best events I've ever been to. And I came out a better advocate because of it.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I was just thinking when you were mentioning like lack of, I guess, public awareness of outbreaks and that sort of thing. And I was thinking about the E. coli situation that's happened a lot recently, right? And it's been happening for years. But I feel like every time it sort of comes in the news, folks are just like, eh. Like, you know, it's like normal, right? Like if you read it, you're like, oh yeah, E. coli breakout and now my lettuce is contaminated, whatever. I just don't buy lettuce. And
where
it's
is
like,
it coming from?
Yeah, where is it coming from? Like, let's talk about this. Let's think about it. And let's, you know, realize that it's something that we can prevent. And if we don't have to have contaminated food because of our agricultural practices. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was just thinking about that because I was like, yeah, we totally normalized that in our news. And we just see it as something that is going to happen. And that's, you know, it's fine.
I think it's also because we're not actually... I don't think we place importance, like our news cycles are what I call 24 hour news cycles, right? They're going as fast as possible. They're usually on the side of fear, not as much solution, which is why I'm not really a big fan of news. But oftentimes it's one of those things, like, for example, not sure if everybody knows, there was a big accident with where a Baltimore bridge actually got crashed into by, what do you call those big boats that carry a lot of shipments. I'm losing my thought, but it's one of those big big ships that carry a lot of product. And it knocked into the bridge and the bridge collapsed and people lost their lives. And that has been consistently playing over and over and over again in the news cycle. So imagine seeing that. And then at the same time, that'll be like list or E. coli outbreak in your lettuce. There's a lettuce recall. And it's like, oh man, there's lettuce recall. And you're just going to go bring your lettuce back. But is anybody thinking about where the E. coli came from? Because I didn't learn this until very much later in my years as an adult, that it was from agricultural runoff, as in animal agriculture runoff, as in animal poo. Okay.
Yeah. The manure is the fertilizer and it gets into the plant, and then the plant is contaminated, especially if not washed properly. But we could totally avoid that situation in general if we just did sort of different ways to fertilize our soil.
You're right, and it is fertilization as well. It's not just runoff.
Runoff is also an issue, I will say.
So tell me about your event.
Yeah, well, it was a student-led conference. I mean, led by me in particular, but there was a group of students who were working on it. And it was a conference for my department at my university, where undergraduates and graduate students and faculty and certain groups of the community could come together and talk about social justice issues and have presentations and sort of practice the skills and, I guess, sort of ways that conferences sort of operate, right? And if I was an undergrad, I would certainly have enjoyed this experience, because I didn't do any sort of events like this in my undergrad. Majority of my undergrad was actually during lockdown. So that made it difficult.
Zero events.
But even if it wasn't during that, I think I was too shy to be involved in anything like that. So I thought that giving this opportunity to undergrads and sort of, you know, inviting them in to talk about how to run conferences and how conferences sort of look would be a great idea. And so in the planning process, I was really inspired by the work that we do, but also some of the conferences that I previously had gone to. So if you have watched certain social media clips on this YouTube channel or on the Instagram, you might have seen that there was a talk that I gave about plant-based nudging. And in one of those talks in that panel that I did, there was a student who actually talked about sustainable project management and project planning and event planning. And I was so excited to see another fellow student talk about this and talk about, you know, plant-based food at events and sustainable dishes. And we have a program at the university where you can rent dishes, and they're cleaned and they're sanitized, and then you just use them in place of like paper or plastic plates and dishes and that sort of thing. And then you just bring them back pretty clean, and then they sanitize them and they use them for other people's events.
Cool.
And so, yeah, we sort of were like, okay, this is what we can do, right? Like, events are sort of one of those things where there can be a lot of, you know, waste and a lot of, you know, food, I guess, like mismanagement, and also poor planning on sustainability factors, I think. And so we were kind of thinking about what we should do to kind of make our event the most sustainable, especially when talking about social justice issues. Like, you can't address social justice. Yeah, you can't address social justice issues if you're not addressing sustainability, as we've talked about before on this podcast.
Yeah. Very good. I will tell you that I've been to events that are sustainable focused events. Okay. And there it's everywhere I've been, to be honest with you. I either see loads of plastic, which is sometimes even hard to avoid. I will tell you that in America, it's so much worse. So the American events are like everywhere you turn, there's plastic. It is like, I think bananas are wrapped in plastic sometimes. Like, it is own packaging. I don't know if anybody knows that. But I see that. And then I also seen it here. I've actually been part of a giant event where we led the event. I won't say the name just in case. But it was like 25,000 people that came out. Okay. And there were recycling containers, and this was part of the city. It was a city land that we were on. And there was like recycling, and I don't think they do compost, but they had recycling and waste, right? And then we had volunteers that were placed there that were supposed to, you know, sort of educate people, like, where does it go? Does it go in here and here? And then at the very end, whenever grabbing all the garbage, the city employees are like, oh yeah, no, we put it in the same place anyway. And it's just like, oh my God, like just the lack of like concern for 25,000 people discarding garbage, you know? And then that also applies to like sort of the plant-based businesses that we see as well. We notice that a lot of folks tend to go into the plastic side. Sometimes it's cheaper. And that is something, obviously, as a small business consultant myself, I know that the bottom line is very important for my clients. And I've even been forced to look at options that have plastic containers or wrapping and so on, and not known how to get around that. Believe it or not, I've actually had a client for whom I ordered pizza, and the pizza came backpacked and so in plastic. So they were kind of like individually separated, and we created a container that we can give them that actually fit the pizza so that they don't have to backpack it. So you just have to have some conversations sometimes to go around these ways. But I've seen these things go pretty badly. And I've seen at events as well, a lot of people have come up to me and said, man, there's so much plastic around here where I thought we're supposed to be for the environment. And that is one takeaway that I think it's one of those things where you almost can't walk away from sometimes, but it's one of those things where we have to walk away, because that is, you know, I'm not sure if everybody knows. And now that I've been to an event where I need to like go back to the basics, I'm going to remind everyone that plastic does come from oil, what we pull out of the ground. So it is eventually some kind of, what is it called, petrolatum that goes into the product that you're looking at. So it is a byproduct of that. So you are essentially contributing to fossil fuels as well, which obviously CRFP is supportive of ending that as well.
Yeah, and it's not as, I mean, it does biodegrade, but like thousands of hundreds of bazillion years, like it's not something that we want to use a lot of. And I know that, you know, there are some accessibility needs that require plastics, but that is not sort of our conversation here about,
not my needs, for example.
Exactly. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, do what you can, if you can do certain things, like those are the things that we're sort of highlighting here, is like, if you can, you should. And so, yeah, I think.
Events that don't have plastic or that are more sustainable?
I mean, my event was very low plastic. It was a lot smaller scale than 25,000 people. Granted, it was about 60. okay. But you know, it being on the side of like organizing things, that was something that was really important to me. And I think the only really, you know, plastic that was involved was, there were some forks that were given because we had a salad delivered. It was an arugula salad. You might have liked it, actually, unless you don't like arugula, which I personally don't like arugula. But
it's in my food, I'll eat it, like avocados.
Right. and so, yeah, like basically just sort of some forks. And of course, there is like catering waste that came with it, but that was really not avoidable, I think. And that's something that you sort of were talking about with like smaller businesses and plant-based businesses, where the packaging that things come in sometimes are not really up to them, and certainly not up to me as an organizer. So yeah. I do have sympathy for organizers
and safety as well, by the way.
That too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did as much as we could. And I think that that is really important. And I really hope that the department continues to do this conference and continues to understand the importance of, you know, low waste and plant-based catering, because before, my department is not as plant forward as it should be. They're still open to it, but I think that, you know, as students, we have a sort of responsibility to push for like progress in the plant-based forward movement area, especially when it comes to student-led events. So
yes,
I really hope it's continued.
I think we need to associate the plant-based diet with the sustainability side. I think we need to sort of keep pushing that narrative as much as possible, because it's not like, I don't think it's stuck yet to people about how sustainable it is to eat more plant-based. So, and of course that's kind of our job. We need to be doing that a little bit more. I'll tell you about an event that I went to. I went to a Canadian women's conference, and I was really excited about it because it's nice to be in a space that is about just a folk that have experienced so many barriers. And in business, it was an entrepreneurship thing. And it was good to be along people like that, right? And I had requested, they did ask. So I requested a plant-based meal. And then, so I get there, and the only thing that was plant-based was a like little cup, plastic cup on top of that, of course, right? Because they can't give you like reusable, unless there's a sink nearby. I actually just learned that. And so they give you this like plastic cup, and then it was like a little bit of granola, and then it was some blueberries and some banana. And I was like, okay, you know, of course I'm thankful, but the rest of the entire conference, even those cups, there were other cups that had a dairy yogurt in it, like a cow's dairy yogurt. And I was like, but why couldn't we just make all the cups, you know, without the yogurt in them? And then on the other side was like croissants. And of course they had butter, and then like Danishes. And of course they had like egg and milk and whatever else. And like, I'm sitting there going like, oh my God, the fact that women, and we talked about this very recently, how women are affected by climate change, and the fact that we're sitting here kind of like furthering that issue. And then also just in that sense of like, should it not be accessible for all? I have clients who are entirely plant-based. And when people come in and they ask about that, I'm like, isn't it amazing that basically everybody can eat here? It can be halal and it can be kosher and it can be pretty much anything, because every single person can eat here unless you have specific allergies or you're on a keto or a low carb diet kind of thing. Aside from those, you're basically welcome to eat here, and 99.9% of the religions will allow for it. Let's say less root vegetables if you're like Jain, for example, because they don't eat anything out of the ground, but they do eat dairy, which is interesting to me. But they're, you know.
Well, I wonder, is it historically that? Because I don't know if it's historically, I don't know. Is that historical, or is it just like a newer?
Yeah, I was just learning about the root vegetables. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, because it's sort of like a sentience thing of them being in the ground.
Hello. Yes. Hello, dairy.
I know.
You know, it like there's probably more dirt in your milk than there is in the ground, because of, you know, people like the cows eating completely off the ground and being fed things even as much as like Skittles and the bags that come with it as well. Pretty scary stuff. But it there's sort of like this inclusivity that I see in the plant-based movement that I am, you know, sort of like looking forward to, and I don't know if it's stuck yet to everybody, right? So that was my only sort of like feedback to the conference, was I'd hope to see more plant-based options, especially because women are affected by the impact of climate change. So anyways, I'll leave it at that, but I don't know if
you have
differences in me.
I mean, yeah. So a few of the academic conferences that I've been to, actually most, I would say 90%, have not been very plant-based friendly, I would say, sort of similar to your situation with granola and blueberries, which are, you know, those are good things.
Nice.
However, when they are compared to other options that folks might actually fill up more on and actually feel more satisfied with, it's a little bit disappointing, I'll say. And it's very similar to some of those experiences that I've had where, yeah, I've been to a conference and I basically can only really eat like a plain bagel, maybe some fruit, like a banana. Forget about lunch. That's probably not happening. And it's very nice that they provide food. However, it's not as accessible to folks who, let's say, even just have lactose intolerance or dairy allergy. And I mean, I certainly have, you know, an intolerance to dairy. Even if I was not eating plant-based, I would still have that, you know, allergy. And I just was not represented in the food choices. And it's really, really hard to go to a conference, especially on a university campus, let's say, where they already have very low options for plant-based mm-hmm. on the campus in general. But then when they provide food at the conference, which is supposed to be free, I can't even eat there. So I have to go to random restaurants and hope that they have plant-based options. And then I actually have to pay more when I didn't have to pay if I didn't have, if I, you know, was accounted for in the food options. And so, you know, there's been a certain experience that I've had where I've been like, this is just really sad. It's really hard to deal with. It's really hard to know that you're paying all this money to be at the conference, to present and spend a lot of energy at the conference, you know, doing work in between each presentation, all those things, and, you know, being a student and having to do classes and all that stuff. And then to not be fed is really, really hard. And I have decision fatigue all of the time when I'm out traveling and I'm not somewhere like I'm used to. And so I'm like, I hate making decisions. I have to go figure out what I'm going to eat. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to eat. Which is, yeah, it's my own problem, but you know what I mean? I think a lot of folks kind of struggle with like, okay, well, if they don't provide for me, like what do I have to do now? It's like an extra burden about being in a new place. Yeah. And so an example of a really great experience that I had is actually Canadian mm-hmm. Animal Law Conference last year, mm-hmm. which was super great because of their plant-based menu. Essentially all of their catering was plant-based, and I was fed. It was great. I came in early. Yeah, I had a donut. Yeah. I had like nachos. I had like sandwiches, bagels, etc. You name it, I had it, because I was like, I'm soaking up all of this food. I'm going to eat all of it. I'm not paying for food outside of this because it's already, you know, a lot of money to be here. And it was great. I really, really enjoyed it. And now my standards are very high for conferences. And so I will be disappointed if I ever have to go to a conference where accessibility and sort of, I guess, sustainability is not on our minds, especially in conferences that I do, where we do talk about, let's say, environmental issues. We do talk about social justice issues. And I feel like we should be putting all of our words into practice. And that is one of those things, right? Yeah, so
totally agree.
It was a really great experience.
Are we communicating, like, and not that we're not communicating it, but are people communicated to enough that the plant-based diet is the most sustainable option that we have? Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I think that I just don't think it has reached the whole of the population. I don't think that there's like the sort of like, I won't say like the sense of urgency, because senses of urgencies do not actually apply to everyone. Like, not everybody, some people have the, like one of those like flight responses to, or, you know, urgencies, which is why you've seen articles showing that the climate emergency stuff actually does worse. Like it actually makes people sort of like cocoon and not do anything about it because they feel like we're doomed, essentially. But then, so I don't want to do that to people. I don't want to be like, hey, listen, you're going to die of a heart attack, which is probably more likely if you're eating a non-plant-based diet, let's say, although that's not always the case, right? Like people have very much lived to be 100, even consuming meat products. The idea is that in a general population, you're more likely to have a healthier life if you consume a plant-based diet, right? I will say to you that even at events like Planted, it feels great to be able to sort of just go and get lunch anywhere and everywhere that I can. It feels even greater to know that there are people who actually have dairy allergies, and they don't have, it's not lactose intolerance, it's actually allergies to the protein inside of dairy. And I had some good conversations with folks about that at the conference as well. There's like 7 people who I met who had a dairy, let's call it a dairy allergy to the protein. I basically just said, maybe it's just our genes not able to sort of comprehend why we are consuming another mammal's secretions, because we're not,
yeah,
we weren't built for that. Like, we
weren't. Yeah. And I think we're going to talk about this a little bit at another point, but I just want to mention that, yeah, there's these enzymes in your body and your stomach that can break down certain types of lactase, right? And if your body doesn't produce those enzymes, you will not be able to digest dairy. And I just sort of have this idea that, you know, we have a certain amount of those. Mm-hmm. And some people have more than others, and you kind of like have them through your life where they either are doing their job or they're not doing their job. And yeah, at a certain point, I think my enzymes have just like, I've stopped being able to break down the dairy. And so, yeah, at like 19, I was like, I have to stop because this is hurting too bad. And I'm like, damn you enzymes.
You know, there's actually been cases I don't know if there's any in Canada, but there have been cases of young Black girls who have passed away in relation to their I don't want to call them allergies because I really don't think that they are. Like I'm almost hesitant to use that word, but they had major lactose intolerance and could not consume dairy, and it led to their passing. And so I think that it goes much deeper than enzymes, than the microbiome in your gut. I think we need to be very careful with what we consume on a health side. And I think we need to be very careful what we consume on the environmental side. And right now, as much as I absolutely will push all the time for people's health, I think we need to be 10 times as concerned with the environment, because our health is not going to matter when we don't have a planet to live on. And mm-hmm. we need to be very aware that that is a reality that we're facing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my favorite things is that like, whatever is good for the environment is good for our health.
Yeah.
And that is like very, I guess, influenced by Indigenous worldview from my perspective. It's very much like the health of your environment and the health of where you live and how you live determines your physical and mental health. Mm-hmm. And so those things are so like interconnected that, like you say, we need to focus on both of those things. And luckily, when we do one of them, the other one is likely to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the sort of like, and I touched on this earlier a little bit, but I want to explore what happens at events, because it's not just food that I'm thinking about at the very least. It's also connection. And I will tell you that I've learned so much from having conversations with people. And so many projects have been sort of born out of these things, right? So it doesn't end at just going to things like Planted Expo, which I love. I think it also continues through the online events that you see all the time. It's just a matter of even honestly, just attending them is beneficial to you. We actually have a couple events coming up that I've just started scheduling in. The first one is strategy sessions for lobbying your MP. We're actually going to talk about all of the strategy that CRFP has put together, all of the strategies that I've thought through that have worked for me to lobby MPs and successfully do so. We're going to be doing strategy sessions every single month, which means people can just come in and ask questions. And like, the idea is just keeping it open and just having people sign up and come in, and we're a community. We're all trying to work towards the same thing. The second event that we're going to be running, and this is going to be every other month, is going to be donor meetings. So this is more for like people who are investing their time and money into CRFP. And I'd like to keep folks apprised of some of the strategies that we have that we have not yet been able to mention online or have been able to announce to the public, which I think is going to be very beneficial. And as someone who's donating, I think is very important to be updated on. So I want to start doing these things a little bit more, because I believe in that human connection, that ability for us to be connecting all the time. There's so many of us working and advocating for a more plant-based food system, but there's such few events that connect us, right? And then sometimes we'll attend like webinars and things like that where we don't actually get to speak to anybody. You know, we recently had a selling sustainability panel, which went phenomenal. We've made some amazing connections as a result of that panel, and we're so grateful. But it stops afterwards, you know? And so I want to open it up so that people have the opportunity to have their input as much as possible. And that's what we want to do with this podcast. That's what we want to do when we show up at Planted events. That's what we want to do when we show up on lobbying strategy sessions and so on. So I don't know about you, but I don't know how else to connect with people in this world some days because we work from home. Like it's me and my cats. I don't get a lot of human connection unless I go out there. So I don't, I hope that people take advantage of these as well.
Yeah. I mean, I only interact with those in my cohort and in my university, but there are so many more people out there that I'm unable to even, you know, start to reach. So we have to figure out ways to do that.
Yeah. How many times have you and I, Maddie, seen each other in real life? Twice?
Three?
Three? Oh my gosh. Have we
maybe
three?
Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. That would, yeah. There was a conference and then there was Canadian Animal Law Conference you came down for. I think
maybe it only was two.
That might be it. There were two, I think. Yeah. So, you know, so people like Maddie and I can connect because of the work that we do and what we're interested in. And that's, I think, what events can do. And I've learned so much from just, and also just attending events and then learning to do things better as well, right? Like reaching out and starting a new form of activism, right? I just learned from a donor of ours that what she does every single month is request a new plant-based book to be added to the library. And I thought, how phenomenal is that? And so because of her, I'm now telling everybody else, now I'm telling you on the podcast. So whoever listens to the podcast, like 100 plus views on the podcast on YouTube, can listen to this and you can do the exact same thing as well. And next thing you know, we'll have a balanced view at libraries simply because somebody connected with me at an event. How cool is that? The impact of human connection should never be undermined or undervalued, I should say. I believe that we evolved by telling stories around fires at nighttime when we had our elders tell us about things. You know, I learned a lot from my grandmother. I actually know most of my gardening, my cooking from my grandmother. And I think that the same kind of thing happens when people connect at events. So I think the more we have, the more we can learn and the more we can request and have advocate for a more plant-based food policy, even inside of events as well. So yeah, that's my reflection on events.
That is great.
Want to add, Maddie?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I mean, I will just say anecdotally, folks who are not plant-based or rarely eat plant-based at my conference were very surprised by how tasty your food was. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to tell them that, you know, it was plant-based. And then sometimes they were shocked. And I was like, yeah, it's like, because, you know, we're really focused on sustainability at this conference. And I want you all to know that I'm serious about this. And this is where it starts, right? Like one of the places where it can start. And they were very excited about that. And so just doing what I can in my small circle and influencing folks to sort of understand that this is serious and this is a social justice issue that we just sort of are scratching the surface of right now. Mm-hmm.
Folks, speaking of scratching the surface, by the way, as well, this podcast is going to launch tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We usually record the day before at the very least to give us some time. You know, you never know, that kind of thing. So there is an Environment and Climate Change Canada survey that, and we're sorry that it's last minute that we're telling you about this. We've just been a little bit busy. We didn't see it come out. It's due tomorrow, March 28th at midnight Eastern time. And what it is a very, very short survey of your opinion on who should be leading the charge on climate action, if the government should be doing more, for example. And it's mostly like toggle things, like 1 to 5, 5 being you need to be taking more action, so on, things like that. If you need help with it, we have an event to help you tomorrow night between 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can hop in anytime between those hours, and we'll be there to help you fill it out. And if you want to fill it out on your own, we'll put the link in this YouTube post as well. And in our, actually, I just found out you can put links into the rest of our podcast descriptions as well. So we'll do that. And then we'll also have it on our social medias as an urgent action as well. So if you have questions, please let us know. But this is a great opportunity to make a difference, and also a great opportunity to connect with like-minded folks if you hop onto the Zoom call.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll just say is, like, let us know how you thought about this format. If this was, you know, fun for you to listen to, if you learned something. If you made it this far, maybe put a little plant emoji in the chat. That's a
good idea. Yes. Look at Maddie. Maddie is going to take our podcast game to the next level. I see it already. Remember, folks, like, we started this podcast to disseminate research, to reach out to the community in a more creative way. And I'm so glad that you're doing exactly that, Maddie. Like, I didn't ask Maddie to say that. And that's like, to me, such a cool thing, because we need to be connecting with you in a different way. And this is what this podcast is about. It's about bringing you information and equipping you and empowering you to make a difference. And Maddie's an amazing researcher, and we have endless content. We just need to slow ourselves down, because there's only so many hours in a day. And I'm so appreciative of the work that you do, Maddie. And I'm so appreciative of us just being able to talk openly and then sharing that with the community. So we'll have that out there. And yeah, thanks everyone for supporting us. As always, you can find us, and you can now find us, by the way, on iTunes. I'm going to start with that. iTunes, Spotify. Of course, we have this uploaded to YouTube at 10 a.m. in the morning, Eastern time. I know I live in Eastern time. We're on Podbean and Podcast Addict and so many other places. And thank you for supporting us. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and donate to keep these events coming to you. Thank you so much for now. Have a good night. Bye. Bye.